thank you for moving my personality and my ego out of the way. And let me speak as you would have me speak in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'd like you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, today is a great day. Today is a beautiful day. And the reason it is because God has given us credit. God given us credit. Yes, God has given you credit. How does God give us credit? What is credit? Credit is when somebody looks at you and gives you something not based on what you have, but what they believe you will. Amen? God doesn't look at us for what we are. God looks at us for what we will become. God gives us credit. See, I'm not a pastor because I'm perfect. I'm a pastor because God says, I can do something with this guy. You don't become something because you are that. You become something because God looks at you and says, I can make something here. I can do something with this. There's some good raw materials here I can use. But sometimes when God finds these raw materials, they have to be put under a little transformation. We live in California, and we all know about, how many of you guys are 49er fans? I don't hold that against you. The name 49ers is of the gold rush, the California gold rush. People coming from all over the country, all over the world, really, to come here to mine gold. And they dig it in the ground, and they find this gold. They pull the gold out, and the gold is absolutely worthless until some things happen. The first is they have to make sure it's really gold. So they pull it out of the ground, and they put it in a sifter, and they sift all the dirt off of it and all the other minerals and other things, and they identify whether this is really gold. Once it's determined it's gold, it still needs to go through a process. And that process is the gold is taken, and it is heated, and it is burned until it melts. And when it melts, they're able to identify every impurity that's in the gold and get it out. When the gold dries, it can either be formed or it can be put into different applications. Different things can happen with it. But then we measure the quality of the gold by its density. It's 10 carat or 14 carat, or it has a weight to it. And so that weight then determines what you can use this particular gold for. Now, when I say God gives us credit, God looks at you even before you've been melted. God looks at you even before everybody else looks and can say that's a 10 carat or that's a 14 carat. God looks at you before any of that happens, and God says, there's gold in there. There's gold there. There's something valuable there. There's something that's worthwhile there. And so because it's worthwhile, I will receive it to myself, and I'll begin the process of actually making it so that everyone else can see what it is. See, as a church, our goal as a church is to identify treasure. And what I mean by treasure is, because God gives us credit and looks at us not as what we are, but what we will become, we have to be people who can seek out treasure, what's valuable. We have to be able to see people how God sees people, because if you look at people for what they are now, you may miss the value of what they can become. And God is not only interested in us seeing each other for what we are, because then we'll become judges of people. And then we become people who start to segregate ourselves from other people because these people aren't like this or these people aren't like that. And so we start finding our little comfortable spots with people who are just like us and not necessarily people who are what God is creating. So I'm talking about the vision of this ministry really quickly. And we're talking about the subject of becoming a house of prayer, but I want to talk about becoming a house of prayer in the context of what I've just said and our vision. So we're going to pull up our vision on the screen, and I want you guys to read this with me. Let's read it together. The calling of Abundant Life Worship Center is to positively and eternally impact the marketplace, the community, the church, and the lives of thousands of individuals with the transforming gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's read that one more time together. I want to hear you guys when you say it. The calling of Abundant Life Worship Center is to positively and eternally impact the marketplace, the community, the church, and the lives of thousands of individuals with the transforming gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't say we have a church of thousands of people. It says we want to impact thousands of people. Now, how many of you guys have an Instagram or a Facebook account? Or some other social media? Let's throw that one in there. All right. What happens when you start a social media account? What's the first thing? What's the first thing that happens? You start adding people, right? So you start your little account. You're gonna put your little profile picture up. Oh, I don't like that one. You go through your 10 pictures that you got, and you pick the one that looks right. You know, you got the side smile. No, I gotta have the right side smile. You get that one that you like, and you put it up there, and then you start friending people, right? So you friend this person, friend that person. You start making friends, or you have friends that you reach out to, people you already know that you start reaching out to, and next thing you know, you realize that you have formed a network, right? So you formed a network, and you have all these people that you're connected to in one way or another, and in forming this network, you realize that you start posting, and people start responding, and you start putting up a post, and people respond, and you put your opinion up, and people respond. You put your lunch up, and people respond, and you put your dinner up, and people respond. You put your vacation up, people respond, and all of a sudden, everybody's interacting on your life, right? That means that there's a certain degree of influence all of us have. There's a certain degree of influence that all of us have that's based on what we are and who we are right now. And there's some people who that instant thought about who I am and what I am, it's sometimes we forget in the middle of all these things that God is not looking at you for who you are. See, people see us and they judge our influencers. LinkedIn has this thing called thought influencers. So if you're a member of LinkedIn, that's one of the things. People who influence thought. They become part of our networks, and what they say influences us. And that's what the label is. And what I'm suggesting to this morning is that becoming a person of prayer is becoming a person who recognizes that my chief influence is God, that my first influence is God, and that I put God and the conversation between me and God first so that I can become an influencer of people. See, you don't want to influence people to make people think the way you think. But you do want to influence people to not settle for human interaction. We want to help people understand that there is more to life than just knowing other people. We want to help people understand it's more than just having a positive interaction with people. There are eternal impacts of things that happen in our lives. And we don't just want to positively impact people. We want to eternally impact people. Most of the issues and most of the challenges that we find among ourselves are temporary things, and you can have positive interactions, but the question is, are they not only positive, are they eternal? Are the interactions we have more valuable? Because there are things that were very positive to me that only lasted for like 3 days. They didn't have an eternal weight. Their carat level wasn't very high. See, there are other things that are positive and that impact us, and they go past just the temporary and they go to the eternal. That's where God comes into our lives. We can all enjoy each other anytime. But when we bring God into the picture, we're talking about how do we start to move past the temporary into the eternal. And the eternal is where God has looked at and seen you as even more than what you are now. I have a friend who was, we were young, and he was drafted to a professional sports franchise. And 3 days before he was supposed to leave to have this great life, something went wrong. He was arrested. And the arrest turned into a series of things that ate up years and years of his life. You know what happened? He had a very positive thing going on, but the positive thing wasn't based on eternal things. And because it wasn't, things shifted, life changed. And when life changed, there was nothing to stand on. This is what Jesus said. He said, there's a foolish man who builds his house on sand. And when storms come, he doesn't have anywhere to go. Then there's a man who's smart and builds his house on a rock. And when storms come and things happen, there's no damage. Why? Because of the foundation. When we're talking about building positive and eternal impacts to people's lives, we're not just talking about making people smile. We're talking about sometimes going past that. We can't love on the surface. We got to love deeper. Because when we go past the surface, we start to get into the realities of what people are dealing with. Why should I come to church and never have anybody challenge me to go deeper in my life? Why should I come to church and never have somebody actually help me go past a smile to actual real joy in my spirit, in my heart, to know that it's well, to know that it's well in my life, to know that it's things are good, that God is actually with me, even if my outside still looks like I'm covered in dirt. Because God's giving me credit. God's calling me a son even when I look like a slave. God's calling me an inheritor even when I look like I'm a nobody. God's calling me rich even when everyone looks at me and might assume that I'm poor. God is calling me blessed even when people look at me and think I'm cursed. God has given me credit. They used to have this commercial called, what was it, Diamond Center? We give you credit, right? People will give you credit, but sometimes the credit people give you will run out. God's credit doesn't run out. God's credit is eternal. Now, understanding that we are called to have a positive and eternal impact on people, and the positive and eternal impact that we have on people is because we are looking past the surface and looking further. We're looking deeper. We're looking past the surface. We're not judging people on what we see on the outside, but really starting to look past, and what is it that God wants me to see in the people I'm interacting with? I'm going to read a couple of passages to you, and I want you to listen close to this. I'm going to start at 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we've been reading this in our series here, 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to work with verses 1 through 3. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, and you can look on the screen, and we'll write the passage down. You can study it later, because I want to make sure we're not too long. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Guess what? God gives us credit, and sometimes we got to give other people credit. We're supposed to pray for all men, and sometimes those all men are people that we don't want to pray for. Can somebody say amen? Sometimes the people we have to pray for are people that we do not feel like praying for. Sometimes the people we have to pray for are the very people we're trying to pray against. How many of y'all ever prayed the Lord smite them prayer? Lord smite them. No, okay, no hands go up. Okay, all right. Thank you, bro. I appreciate that. Ron in the back, finally, yeah. All right, okay, now we got them up going. There we go. Sometimes you get mad and you want God to do something about those people. But this says, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Sometimes those people you don't like, you got to give thanks for. Oh, that's tough. Let's go to the next verse. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Next verse. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be what? Saved and come to the knowledge of what? The truth. Let's go to James chapter 5 really quickly. James chapter 5, verses 16 and 18 through 18. It says, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, very interesting here. We're supposed to confess our faults one to another. Man, that sounds bad. You know why? That means I'm vulnerable to you. Man, I got to tell you, I want to confess something to you. How many of you ever told somebody something? You said, why did they tell somebody else? I told you just me and you, and why you tell somebody else? It makes you vulnerable. You share something with somebody, you want them to pray with you, but it puts you in a vulnerable position. Why does God allow us to do that? Because God looks for us to have a certain degree of dependency on Him and not people. But He wants us to go ahead and say, let me confess something to you. Let me pray. Let me have you pray for me. Pray one for another that you might be healed. Sometimes you have to be able to put your trust in people, even when, or put your trust in God through people. Let's say it that way. That an act of faith of telling you what I'm telling you is not me having confidence in you, but me having confidence in God. So that I might be healed. There's a healing that comes from us praying one for another. For being linked together with somebody who you can talk to and you can share with and you can share one thing. And here's what the Bible says in another passage. I'm not going to go too deep into it. It says this. It says that he that isolates himself seeks his own way. When we isolate ourselves, it's because we don't want to hear what everybody else is saying. I want to do what I want to do. I want you to pray for me because if I tell you something, you might give me your opinion. And I don't want your opinion. I just want you to pray for me. Think about it. Where are our hearts? God is not looking at us for where we are. He's looking for where we become. But sometimes you can't get to where God's calling you because your view is only of you and what you see right now. Sometimes other people can speak into your life who see things that you don't see. So being able to talk to someone else and say, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. Sometimes that person can say, well, you know what? You told me that you're having a problem swimming, right? Yeah. I can't swim, man. I just, every time I get in the water, I'm about to drown. I just feel like I'm drowning every time I step in the water. So every time you step in the water, you're about to drown? Yeah, man, I'm about to drown. Did you ever think about standing up? Sometimes that problem that seems so devastating to you, somebody else is looking, stand up, bro. It's really not that big of a problem. But life seems heavy on us because we see things from one angle. So he says, confess your faults one to another. Pray for each other that you might be healed. Because sometimes the healing isn't even as bad as you think. Sometimes your situation isn't even as bad as you think. That's why you need to talk to one another. Amen? Let's go to Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Now, this is really important because this talks about that praying one for another. So the Apostle Paul is talking to the Galatian church and he's telling them, he said, you know what? I'm praying for you and I'm interceding for you. And I'm doing it like I'm going through birth for you. I'm praying for you and I'm sticking with you because even though I see certain things in your life, I know that you're going to be born and Christ is going to be fully formed in your life. And I'm making it a commitment to pray for you as long as it takes. How many mothers in the house? How many of y'all got halfway through labor and decided, nah, I'm done? There's no backing up now, right? It's the show is about to begin, right? What does that mean? He's saying, I'm laboring with you. Paul said, I'm looking at you and I'm looking at your development. I'm seeing where God is taking your life. I'm seeing not just where you are. I'm seeing where God's trying to take you. And because I know where God's taking you, I will labor with you. I will labor in birth with you until I see Christ formed in your life. That's why we pray for one another. We pray for one another so that we see each other all the way through to whatever God has for our lives. How powerful is that to know that you have people in your life that are doing that with you? That through your pain, through your tears, through your heartaches, through whatever you're going through, that they are continuing to pray for you. They're continuing to stand for you. They're continuing to be involved in seeing Christ be formed in you. That's powerful. That is powerful. Now, I was in the room with my wife with all three of our kids being born. Here's what I learned about being in the room. Hey, this is wisdom. All brothers who got babies coming, listen to me. Listen close. I learned this. Took me three times to get it. I finally figured it out. There's absolutely nothing you can do. Am I right, bro? Yeah. There's nothing you can do. All I can do is stand in this room and let my hand be squeezed. Don't say anything stupid. Just be here. Reality. Because I'm not the one giving birth. But all of us have people in our lives who God has put and assigned to us and put in our lives, and they're there bearing with us. They're there going through it with us. They're there in the middle of it with us. And I'm there trying to encourage. The first time I said, yeah, here we go. We're not going anywhere. You're just standing there, man. So going through challenges, we need to be available to each other to pray for one another and to encourage one another and to build each other up as we go through this process of growth and becoming something new. Last passage I want to show you. I want to go to the book of John chapter 15 and we're going to close with this. I want to make a couple of points really quickly here. The vision of our ministry is to positively and eternally impact people. If you're going to positively and eternally impact things, you cannot judge only with your eyes. You cannot judge only with your eyes. Sometimes you have to look ahead. Sometimes you have to be able to see further. You have to be able to see beyond what is now to know what God's bringing to pass and then be able to be with them in the middle of the transformation. Now, John chapter 15. Let me turn there myself. Spend just a little time on this. John 15. Now we're going to start reaching out to this community. And when we do, there's some things that are going to happen, I can guarantee it. The thing that I can guarantee is going to happen is that through the door, at some point, are going to be people who come through wounded. People who come through in distress. People who come through indebted. And when they come in, we have to be ready to see them through whatever it is they have. Chapter 15, verse 7. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. And we're talking about becoming a house of prayer, and we're talking about praying for other people. In the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about intercession and seeing other people through things. And we talked last week about God giving us the ability to create. And we talked about George Washington Carver having that ability to walk out and pray and receive instruction from God and then live his life just in the flow with God and being able to hear from God and move with God. And as a result, if you took these two scientists, you took Thomas Edison and you put George Washington Carver next to each other, and you looked at their process, you will find that Edison tried things over and over again. He tried this and tried that, and after trial and error, he came up with solutions. George Washington Carver went away with God, got revelation from God, and went into his laboratory, did what God said, and discovered things. Now, if that works with a peanut and a soybean, do you think it can work for the people in your life that you're praying for? Do you think that you could possibly be able to go away and pray and God actually talk to you about the people in your life that you're dealing with, that you're interceding for, that you're praying for, that God can give you wisdom and insight? They can give you the ability to move. And as we start stepping out and we begin going into neighborhoods and praying, not knocking on their doors, but just praying for the neighborhoods. As we begin doing that, we're going to need to be able to do that with a confidence that we are praying for people and that God has given us divine wisdom to share. So we did a baby dedication. And we pray for the wisdom of God over everyone who's involved. Why? Because we believe that God hears us and that if it's our desire, and we let God's word abide in us, and whatever we ask, we will have. So we pray for the blessing on the life. Why? The blessing on the life of the child. Why? Because we're asking that it's our desire to see her grow up and be blessed. We're asking that we see her grow up and be successful. But where does it begin? It begins with our desire and how we honor God with that desire. It begins with saying that I believe that if I prayed it, God's going to bring it to pass. And even though the road might not look like the way I want the road to be, I believe God will do what we asked him to do. I told you guys, me and my mother got kicked out of a church. They told us, do not bring him back. They told my mother, they told my mother, don't bring him back to church. We left the church. And she dedicated me to the Lord. And I was the baddest kid at the church. They said, Lee, and I've seen bad kids at other churches, but I've never seen another kid get kicked out. I'm the only one I know that got kicked out of a church. But prayer works. It doesn't always look right because God had issued a credit already. The other people are looking at our credit worthiness. He's a bad little boy. Get him out of the church. But God's already said something about me. See, God's already spoken something about me. God's already said something about me. And even if other people could not see it, it doesn't make a difference because God's already said it. And if we stand on what God says, and that's what this passage is, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then whatever you ask for, you will have it. Now, look at the next verse. By this my Father is glorified. We were in the leadership class in last couple weeks ago, and one of Gloria said, I met somebody who went to school with you, Pastor. Everybody's even laughing. I met somebody who went to school with you, Pastor, and they said, yes, it's a miracle that he's a pastor. Why would it be a miracle that I'm a pastor? Because that's not what I looked like. But God had already put a credit on my life. They have this place that says, I heard it on the radio. They said, if you got bad credit, no credit, whatever, come to us and we'll give you a car. That's what God does. You got no credibility with people. You got nothing. You look like you, whatever. Doesn't make a difference. God said, come to me. I'll give you credit. When other people can't see anything else about you, when other people can't see you the way I want to make you, come to me and I will grant you a credit and I will make you something. I will build your life. I will do things with you. Now, look at this. Next verse. By this my Father's glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. Just live in the love of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, I look at you now, and I believe that the love of God will take you further than where you are. You look good now, but God can take you further. Amen. Amen. Let's go to verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. As I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Whenever my joy is low, I got to remember, go back to the word. Go back to God's word. Go back to God's word. When your joy is low, you got to go back to God's word. Now, let me tie this down and we're going to finish with this. Becoming a house of prayer means we're committing ourselves to be people of prayer. To be people of prayer. To become a person of prayer means that we're having a dialogue with God. And the simple definition of prayer, talking to God, listening to God, and then moving with God. Prayer is complete when we start to move in obedience to whatever God gives us, whatever God says to us. Moving with God. Moving with God. Now, the vision of this church is that we who are partners in this church start to live a life or expand that life that is filled with talking to God and listening to God and moving with God. When we talk and listen and move with God, the outcome of that is how we positively and eternally impact other people's lives. When I first understood this, I was at work and I was praying. I wasn't praying loud. I was just sitting in my chair, just having a little dialogue with God. And I was sitting in my chair, and this lady walked past me. And as I was praying, I just heard real quickly, she's pregnant. I said, okay. Then I just heard real clear, tell her. And so I had to make a joke out of it. I said, hey, come here. She came in. I said, hey, you pregnant, huh? She said, you need to stop messing around. You need to stop. Well, she got fussy with me, right? So she walks away. I said, oh, man, what did I do? I'm glad I made a joke out of it. So 2 days later, she comes to me and she says, hey, I am pregnant. How did you know? The Lord told me. And then while I'm talking to her, all of a sudden, other stuff is in my head. And I just started talking to her. And I started talking to her. And she starts crying. And I'm just talking. I can't stop talking now. Now I'm all in it. I'm just talking. And she's crying. And she says, stop, stop, stop. I said, hey, now I'm like confused. I don't know. But what had happened? What had happened was my dialogue with God started calling out things in her life. My dialogue with God helped her know that God was hearing her. My dialogue with God wasn't for me. My dialogue with God ended up being for her. And when I spoke to her, what happened was that she had a personal situation in which she did not believe she was ever going to have a child. And all of a sudden, this prayer was answered. And what it did is it showed her that God was not judging her on the past, but God was granting credit. God was looking ahead to what she's going to do and how she's going to live and what she has to offer, and not judging her based on the past. See, most of us have a whole bunch of things and errors or omissions or challenges or roadblocks in our life that stop us from going forward, but God's not looking at those things. We have a lot of limiting things that happen in our lives that hold us captive and that get us in a position where we're okay in life and we're fine, but we've stopped aspiring to move forward. Where we've begun to settle in and just say, well, you know, life is cool, I'm okay, and this is just how it is. And stop looking ahead to what God has for you. We started judging our lives based on where we are, rather than what God has credited us with. And here's what God has given us. This is what Jesus said. If you ask anything, the Father will give it to you. But it starts with a desire. It starts with the heart toward God. Having the heart toward God guarantees that when we start having a dialogue with Him, He will start to put in us what's really in our hearts. Stand up on your feet. We're going to pray. We want to become houses of prayer because we want to start blessing each other's lives. We want to bless each other's lives in an even higher level than we have in the past. And I believe that God's desire is to see people become blessers. People become blessers. It's easy to speak evil over someone's life. It's challenging to become a blesser of people's lives. And we believe that's what God wants for us. Not bearing burdens that aren't ours, but making sure that we are speaking the blessing over people's lives. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We ask that right now you would allow the word that we've prayed, that we want to pray for all men. We thank you that we want to be people that have eternal impacts with people. We thank you, Lord, that we want to be people that impact others with grace and with peace. We thank you, Lord, that we want to be people who are seeing the best and seeing people for what God is making them to be, and not just what they are right now. So we give you the glory and the honor and the praise right now. And I thank you, Lord, that you would touch every heart in this place right now. Lord, I thank you that you would, by your Spirit, begin to move in this place right now. Begin to allow your Holy Spirit to touch and to saturate us with your grace and with your mercy right now. We thank you, Lord, that you will begin by your Spirit to enlighten us, give us wisdom and understanding, Lord, and show us the things that we have held on to that are holding us from moving forward. Show us, Lord, how we can bless one another. Show us how we can begin looking at ourselves based on where you are taking us rather than where we are right now. We give you glory for these things right now in Jesus' name. I'd like you to just put your hand on your neighbor's shoulder very briefly. As we do, one of the things that was just in this passage we read was, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Love has layers. Love has a simple layer of just, I love you. Love has a layer of, I'm concerned for you. Love has a layer of, I will sacrifice for you. And love has a layer of, I will lay down my life for you. I've loved people at the surface level, and I've loved people from the care and concern level, and I've loved the level that I've even sacrificed for people. But I've never loved anyone enough to lay down my life. This is what Jesus has done. Jesus said, no man can take my life. I lay it down. The passage we just read in John chapter 15, he says this. He says, no greater love has any man than this, than one would lay down his life for his friends. And he backed it up. He laid down his life. So as you're touching that neighbor, it's a sign of acceptance. It's a sign of care. But as strong as that sign is, there's a sign that's bigger than that. And it's the sign that God gives us. The love of Jesus. That Jesus has given his life for us. So if you're here today and you've never received that love from Jesus, you've never accepted that embrace from him, if you've never accepted him as Lord of your life, we would just like to share with you how it works. And it's very simple. We look at our own lives and realize we're not perfect. And once we check that one off, we realize that we're human. That means you're a sinner. And sinner is not an offensive term. It's just a term that says you realize you're not perfect. You got flaws. You got things wrong. Who doesn't? It's the nature of human beings. But once you get over that point, then you can start saying, now, do I want to stay this way? Or would I like to really receive the inheritance of moving past my flaws and my faults? So God has sent Jesus Christ as our go-between, the mediator between God and men, who can restore us to God so that we can commune with God and talk to God and have a relationship with God so that he can show us exactly how we move past what's called sin or the flaws in our life. So if you're here today and you've never received that, we want to give you an opportunity.